And now on ABC Radio and on your pod, it's time for The Signpost, which of course is our little segment where we get to do a bit of a roundup of the past week and the forward week in the religion and ethics news world. And joining us this evening is David Rutledge, who's doing the job for Andrew West. David, welcome to the program.
G'day, Noel.
David, I've been watching and listening carefully what you've been doing. The census seems to have made it on.
Mm.
Why a census question?
The cat is among the pigeons. It's interesting. I mean, it's one of those stories that you think initially won't be particularly interesting, but you sort of poke it with a stick and see what comes boiling out. And people are very upset because...
This is the no religion question.
This is the no religion. This is the no religion question. People are very upset because traditionally, as people from 2011 may remember, when you fill out the religion part of the census, it asks you first of all what denomination you are, and you can tick Catholic, Anglican, all the way down. Then you have other, a large box where you can put in things like Judaism or, you know, Jedi Knights, whatever you like. And at the very bottom of the list is no religion. And what the Australian Bureau of Statistics have decided to do for next year is put that box at the top of the list, which may seem like a minor cosmetic change, but no, it's
so it's a question about religion, but your first option is no religion. Is that the point?
That's right.
Goes to the top.
It goes to the very top. A position of privilege, according to some, but a redress of an imbalance, according to others. It depends on who you talk to.
Well, what's the rationale, though, for putting on a religious question no religion at the top?
Well, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, they're saying that it's just responding to a trend. Every 5 or 6 years, the no religion cohort grows and grows and grows and grows. And what they usually do is when an option becomes very popular, it goes to the top of the list. For example, what language do you speak at home? You know, English is at the top of the list because that's what people tend to choose. And they are expecting that this year, for the first time, the no religion cohort will be the most ticked box, just above Catholic. So that's why they're putting it.
No, that's it. That's philosophical, because if I recall, it was roughly 20-something percent in the last census, something like that. And that means that 80% of people do have a religion, which means most people have a religion. And of the people who have a religion, there's something like 60% of them are Christian as well. Then you have to subdivide all that into the various types.
That's right.
So it doesn't exactly seem to make sense to me that you'd have no religion first unless there was a purpose in it. Well, what's the purpose, allegedly, of doing it from those who don't like it?
From those who don't like the change, they're saying that the purpose is, well, it's the result of a campaign, right?
Okay.
Which has been mounted by the Rationalist Society of Australia to have the box put to the top. Their argument is that having the box at the bottom means that people just tend to miss it. You know, maybe I went to a Catholic school or I went to an Anglican school. I see Catholic or Anglican at the top and I tick that, even though
I'm a
functional atheist.
Yeah, they'd argue donkey vote. Yeah.
So they would like to see it put at the top, but also for the reason that they're concerned about the fact that the government uses the census figures to determine allocation of resources. And so if you have an artificially skewed no religion vote, it means too much money is going to religious organisations.
Oh, so it's following the money, in other words.
Following the money.
That's interesting. So those who are upset about it, I think...
Family Voice Australia, who used to be the Festival of Light.
Ah, okay, right. Well, they're concerned, and I think if I recall in the story, their chief concern was this was going to be used to control funding for religious bodies. That's what they were worried about, isn't it?
That's what they're worried about, yeah.
Chaplains in schools, chaplains in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And is that done and dusted? Is that finished? Is that what's going to happen?
The commentator from Family Voice Australia, a woman by the name of Roz Phillips, said that what they would like to do is stop the presses, essentially.
Yep.
And just, you know, we need to get the forms and this thing needs to be... You know, she says that if they had known that the Rationalist Society was mounting a campaign like this, they would have mounted their own campaign and maybe stopped this change from happening. But the Australian Bureau of Statistics has said that it's all done and dusted. The forms are on their way to the printers.
If I recall properly, she said to you that there was about 1,000 submissions made on the census and nearly half of them were about this religion question.
444, yeah.
Yeah, 444.
444, so it was a concerted campaign.
It's almost the mark of the beast.
That's right.
And the second story I think you had this week was to do with Southeast Asian extremism and trying to understand the mind of the jihadist.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell us a bit about that.
This was an author by the name of Raffaello Pantucci, who's based in London. He's written a book entitled We Love Death as You Love Life, Britain's Suburban Terrorists. I think I've got that right. That quote comes from just after the London bombings in July 2007, was it? That was taken from one of the videos that was released shortly after that. And the book and the interview that was done with Andrew West for the program is just a look at what's behind that message and the problem of homegrown terrorists in the suburbs of the UK.
And then I think coming up this week, you're looking at a story on a transgender person who was asked to be the godparent of a child in Spain. Tell us a little bit about this intriguing story.
It's an interesting one. It's a woman who considers herself to be a man. She has asked to be the godfather of her nephew, right? Yeah. The parents weren't sure whether this
Wait a second. When you say it's a woman who considers herself to be a man and you said she, mm-hmm. should I correct you politically here?
I'm not sure. Look, I'm not across the delicate politics of terminology here, and I'm going straight from the...
news report.
From the CNA report, and they refer to her as she, so I'm going to stick with that, but I if you...
They
if
could
you,
be annoying, so we'll take that on advice.
Okay. Yeah. But yes, I mean, I sometimes I think just going ahead with the wrong terminology sounds better than sort of squeamishly tiptoeing around in search for the right one, but I apologise if I've offended anyone. The bishop went to the Vatican because he wasn't sure what the official ruling on this, and the answer that came back from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith was that no, a transsexual person cannot be godfather or godmother. And rather wonderful...
Can't be, why not?
Well, because, and I quote, transsexual behaviour reveals in a public way an attitude opposite to the moral imperative of solving the problem of sexual identity according to the truth of one's own sexuality.
Oh, so it's a pastoral response.
Quite clear, really. That's right.
So basically, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which is, of course, the modern version of the Inquisition, mm-hmm. it's exactly the same body, now called the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, has said that if you're transsexual, you just simply can't be a godparent because it's just wrong.
It's just wrong. You're not living a fully Catholic life or an acceptably Catholic life.
Because you're a transsexual.
Because you're a transsexual, yeah.
That should be an interesting story to look at.
I think it's going to be very interesting. It opens onto a whole lot of things, including the question of what a godparent is for anyway. And I'm even interested in that aspect of it. I'm a godfather to two young people, and I have no idea what I'm supposed to do, I have to tell you. I said yes out of friendship, but I'll be interested to find out a lot more about the whole business of godparenting.
Well, the interesting thing here, because it's a Catholic question, is you are required to have one sponsor, and they call it sponsor. Godparent is like the sort of colloquial term. But sponsor has to be a religious person who is practicing the faith. So to be the sponsor, you can have as many godparents as you want, colloquially, but there must be one sponsor who is a practicing, engaged person. That's technically the rule. So the interesting question would be whether this person who has been put up is, you know, going to mass, doing normal things. And if that's the case, this becomes really interesting because they're basically saying from the CDF that if you have gender dysmorphia, if you're transsexual, well, it's just wrong.
Mm. That's right. Well, they use this word. I mean, the word objective comes in here as well, this idea of, you know, objective disordering. I love it when they bring in this word objective. It's quite telling.
Oh, well, there's a fair bit of the population that have been dealing with it for a good 40 or 50 years now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
David Ruttidge, thanks for joining us for the program.